time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, September 25th, 2023. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I want to tell you about a book I read this weekend. It was, listen, for me, I got dyslexia, so I'd rather listen to a book than read it, but I do both. But this book I listened to while on a road trip. We went to our daughter and her husband, and with our grandbaby, our granddaughter was dedicated in a service on Sunday, and we're so excited to have been with them. But it's a five-hour drive there and a five-hour drive home, and so I had a chance to listen to an audiobook. My wife was doing some things on her computer, so gave me a chance to have uninterrupted time. I listened to the book by Dr. Henry Cloud, Necessary Endings. Dave Hopper, who's one of my clients, chairman of Leader One, recommended that book Friday morning, and we left Friday afternoon, so I downloaded it. And I read the opening. I go, wow, this book, just based on the write-up, seems like such a timely book for where we're at in the industry. And it was so true. I'm so grateful to David Hopper. So shout out to him for recommending the book. And then I got into it and listened to it. Folks, I'm telling you, every one of you that is listening to this podcast need to go get the book, Necessary Endings, by Dr. Henry Cloud. It is really chronicles what we're going through in this industry and why there needs to be an ending, a necessary ending to some of the things we're doing. Our costs are not sustainable. It's sitting at the $13,000. I think it's just fallen below $13,000. But still, if we are sitting at $6,000 manufacturing costs on the operational side, $6,000 on the commission side of the business, it's not sustainable. And we are in trouble. And there's new companies coming along, working with Pavan at Angel AI a lot, talking to him, listening to the things that his vision, what he's doing. There is new things coming into market that is going to slash costs and dramatically shift the way we do business. And folks, I'm so excited about it. You can be frustrated with the changes of where the market is, or you can get a new frame of mind, a new mindset. Talk about more about mindset. Love what Rewire does. I love talking to our friends at Rewire. Encourage you to listen to that podcast. I'm talking more about how your mindset is. This book gave me and helped me reset my mindset to some things we as an industry have to let go of doing and start doing differently. It doesn't mean the mortgage industry is going away. It's just how it's being done or has been done is going to be going away, at least elements of it. Say, how is that possible? Start by reading the book, Necessary Endings, and it'll start giving you some clues, looking at your organization, and then start looking to some of the things that are coming down the line at us technology-wise, Angel AI specifically. And we're going to be talking more and more about that. I'm editing up a series of podcasts I recorded with Pavan that talks about how this is absolutely going to transform our industry. I really believe what Pavan has built, Pavan is to the mortgage industry as Elon Musk was to the auto industry. And that's a pretty bold statement, especially when you look at all that Elon has accomplished, whether you like EVs, electronic vehicles or not. My wife isn't a fan of them. That's why I know there's some number of people out there that are not fans of them. But I got to tell you, it's reinventing how cars are made, how cars are pushed down the road. So anyway, we could go on and on about it. Our industry is going through a change, and I encourage you to listen to this podcast each week, share it with others. We're releasing so much content right now. I just recorded another interview this morning with Marjorie Adam. It will be airing in the near future about the real estate commission, specifically the buyer side of the commission on a real estate transaction. One lawsuit after another is settling out of court because they see the inevitability that it is changing. And they're obviously mitigating risk, mitigating costs. So they're settling out some big, I mean, $80 million, $55 billion settlements out of these lawsuits. Unfortunately, all the only ones making money out of this at this point are the attorneys, but not begrudging our attorney friends out there. All for you guys making a good living. But man, those are just the vast majority of money is going to the attorneys. But we're seeing a shift in the industry. It's one of the things that are changing. So much is changing. So anyway, could go on a little bit of a rant there at the beginning of this podcast. So glad to have you here as our listener. Mark Helm will not be able to join me today. He's spending time with his brother, his family, helping him through things. So I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, starting out with Byte Software. Byte is a software that works the way you want to work with Byte's highly configurable LOS technology, robust process controls, flexible integration tools. Enjoy an excellent level of customization with an intuitive interface that doesn't require an army or a small fortune of administrative staff. Also, want to say a special thank you to Finastra, the largest fintech company in the world. There, with Candor, you automate both tasks and expert underwriting intellect to move seamlessly and profitably between market cycles. Also, Simple Nexus is a home ownership platform uniting people, systems, and stages of the mortgage process into a seamless end-to-end solution. Check out Simple Nexus as well as iEmergent. We're going to hear from John Maynell here in just a minute with their segment that he shares with us each week. Be sure to pay attention to that. I don't know how people are going to be doing business without the business intelligent tools of iEmergent. So powerful, along with Mobility, MMI, and Modex. These three companies working together are such a powerful tool. Also, a special thank you goes out to MBA, Lenders One, The Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, and we're so grateful for all of our sponsors. The MBA annual conference is coming up, just right around the corner. I'm registered for the conference. It depends whether or not our grandbaby comes at that time, which she's due right during the conference, unfortunately. So I might not be there, but I'm registered for the conference. Encourage you to be there, though. A lot will be talked about, especially when you look at where our industry's at and where it's going. Really a powerful, must-go-to annual conference in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. This past week, we released on Wednesday, September 20th, the interview with Sean Carnes of Arvest Bank. That one got a lot of feedback. It was really good. I enjoy Sean at so many levels and encourage you to get to know him. The topic was serving the community through mortgage education with Sean Carnes at Arvest Bank. Check out that podcast. Coming up this week, we'll be releasing on Tuesday, September 26th, an interview with John David Mann, his latest book, The Vagrant, The Inner Journey of Leadership. I read that. I devoured that book. John David Mann is one of my favorite authors. He's a great guy, a good friend, and his wife. And I encourage you to pick up the book, Vagrant, but listen to the podcast. On Wednesday, September 27th, I've got one of my favorite people I interviewed, Emily Farley of Atlantic Bay. She's talking about leadership. It's such a powerful interview. It really gives you insights to someone like Emily, who is a leader inside of a company that is already a leader in the marketplace. Check out that interview on leadership with Emily Farley. Also, a special shout out goes to our regulars, Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, and Alan Pollock. Thank you all for the contribution you make each week to the podcast. Let's get over to Adam DeSantis with this week's MBA Mortgage Minute. Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA, the American Bankers Association, and Independent Community Bankers of America sent a joint letter to FHFA raising strong objections to its proposal to amend the existing Suspended Counterparty Program, or SCP. While the industry recognizes the importance of rules that ensure the safety and soundness of the GSEs, this proposal offers no rationale for its adoption, despite the draconian consequences that could fall on businesses caught up in an expanded SCP. We have significant issues with the proposal because it gives FHFA unlimited discretion to suspend counterparties for potentially minor civil or administrative sanctions. It is evident that FHFA has not contemplated the potential harm in the housing finance market and the impact of a suspension. Given the extreme economic and reputational harm that suspended counterparties could face, FHFA should not impose such disproportionate and severe sanctions for the administrative and civil misconduct described in the proposal. We will engage with FHFA on this issue and provide you with any relevant updates. And finally, have you registered yet for MBA Annual taking place a month from now, October 15th through the 18th in Philadelphia? Register today at mba.org/annual, and we hope to see you there.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that update. Listeners, be sure to download the Mortgage Action Alliance app. We actually refer to it as MAA, M-A, but it's Mortgage Action Alliance. You can definitely get it at your favorite app store and download it Again, we go to, I'm an iPhone user. I don't know why anyone else would use anything but an iPhone. It's just teasing all of our Android users out there. But anyway, be sure to get that app, download it, and what the efforts of the NBA. We use that app to support the efforts of the NBA on when they're lobbying on the Hill so that the members of the Hill, congressmen, hear what not only from the NBA, but also from us as NBA members. So sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance app. Now it's time for the TM Spotlight, this week's macro view of the markets with Les Parker. What do you have for us today, and what is the music parody?
Listen to Fed's freeze, whisper cell phones, please don't send bears to the path of
never go. TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
While bonds nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of some bear gently rapping at resistance door. 'Tis some wonder, notes muttered, tapping at resistance door. Only this and nothing more.
The bears remain empowered by the Fed. It constrains the economy by reducing liquidity with higher rates and selling treasuries. So, higher rates for longer, coupled with more bond sales, spur high rates, then boom, a recession, and rates slide. But the bond bulls need data to nail the timing. When data say they don't love bears anymore. These views are mine. Understand data mavens at tmspotlight.com.
There's so much packed into that short message. If you haven't already done so, be sure to sign up for Les Parker's TM Spotlight newsletter. You can get the paid version for free if you enter the code POWER, for short for Power Seller, where it asks for it in the Zine. So free letter, and you get the paid version for free. Nothing like getting something of value for free. Appreciate it. Thank you, Les. I love that music parody once again. Let's listen to today's update from our friends at Kelk.
The National Association of Home Builders said that the construction industry has run aground. In August, home builders reported the slowest amount of housing starts since June of 2020. The Department of Housing and Urban Development said home builders decreased their activity by nearly 15%, despite the industry already facing massive inventory shortfalls. You name it, they're grappling with it. A shortage of workers, an increase in the cost for raw materials, and more difficulties ensuring their operations. Growing land prices aren't helping, and the cost of capital is most certainly an additional headwind. This is what I was talking about last week when I indicated the Fed's actions may actually do more harm than good. The reality is the high demand for homes will continue for the long run, and while the Fed increased rates on their long-term forecast and indicated another increase is possible yet this year, it does seem like we're close to the top. If so, mortgage rates will have to start coming down, which will alleviate pressures on builders and lenders alike. I'm Dan Muggy, and that's this week's Calc Mortgage Minute.
Matt Graham, founder and CEO of MBS Live, is here with this week's market update. Matt, what you got for us today, friend?
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live market update. Bonds and rates are clearly in a bit of trouble as of last week. Well, it was as of before then as well, but last week didn't help. And the big to-do was clearly the Fed announcement. It's not just the rate announcement that matters. In fact, the rate announcement didn't matter in this case. The market was fully priced for it and had been for quite some time. We also get a press conference with Fed Chair Powell and the updated dot plot in the Fed's summary of economic projections. That is an estimate of where each individual Fed member thinks the Fed funds rate will be at any given point at the end of the upcoming few years, and it has been a key source of volatility for the past few years, even though Fed Chair Powell cautions the market against reading too much into it, traders continue to react to it. And indeed, in this case, it was almost exclusively responsible for the volatility that we saw in the wake of the Fed announcement. I personally don't feel, and other people that I talk to don't feel, that Powell's press conference had much, if anything, to do with the market reaction. It was mostly the dot plot, and specifically, it revised higher the median Fed members' view of where the Fed funds rate would be by about 0.5%, well, by exactly 0.5%, over the next 2 years, and it also bakes in one additional hike for 2023. The bottom line is that the Fed continues to communicate a quote-unquote higher for longer mentality when it comes to the Fed funds rate and rates in general, and we can see that playing out in the longer end of the yield curve because we know that the Fed is not inclined to hike rates much higher than they are currently, or at the very least, they're going to keep them around these levels and sort of wait and see what the effect is on inflation in the economy in order to try to at least pursue a soft landing scenario where the economy doesn't take undue damage from restrictive monetary policy. The Fed feels that policy is restrictive right now, and that given time, it should help to bring inflation down. They are aiming for a 2% inflation target and continue to reiterate that rather forcefully, even as of this morning with some comments from Fed's Goolsbee. And the pursuit of that 2% target is going to mean that they really do need to keep rates higher for longer to whatever extent inflation and economic resilience is persistent. So, it's moving out the longer end of the yield curve because the short end of the yield curve is more anchored to the Fed funds rate. So if the Fed funds rate is being held steady or close to steady, then the damage is seen in longer term rates. And that's why the yield curve is getting less inverted right now. It's the least inverted it has been during this cycle or ever since it, you know, got majorly inverted. And that has mixed implications for mortgage rates since mortgage rates aren't quite as long as 10 years in terms of duration, but they're definitely not as short as 2 years. And the market view of what that duration should be kind of varies as new data comes in and as the shape of the yield curve changes. But in any event, they were able or have been able to outperform 10-year treasury yields recently because of that. It's not anything super significant, but it's somewhat interesting, and it's definitely a phenomenon that could continue as the yield curve continues to uninvert. In terms of other data last week, there wasn't much other than the super low jobless claims reading on Thursday morning that drove additional weakness. That came in at 201 versus 225 forecasts. It's really very well in line with what the Fed's been saying about an absence of economic damage showing up in the data, and that in turn makes a case for policy to stay restrictive. Coming up in the current week, there's not a ton of super big ticket data. One might argue that core PCE or just PCE with the core component as well on Friday morning is a big ticket report. But it definitely has not been as much of a market mover as CPI, largely because it pertains to the same month of inflation and comes out 2 weeks later. So it would have to fall quite far from forecast to have a big impact. Jobless claims on Thursday, that's been a fairly consistent market mover when it's fallen far from forecast. Durable goods on Wednesday is hit or miss, and before Wednesday, there's really nothing by way of potential big ticket data. Treasury auction cycle could be informative. That begins on Tuesday and runs through Thursday, and that can let us know how the market is feeling in terms of bond demand in the wake of this repricing that's going on in the longer end of the yield curve, but not as informative as the other week of the auction cycle will be in 2 weeks from now, because this auction cycle is twos, fives, and sevens, whereas a threes, tens, and 30 cycle would be a little bit more relevant for assessing long-term or long-end demand. After this week, we have a very big week of data coming up, and that's the one that includes non-farm payrolls, among other things, the characteristically huge week of data on any given month. So this week is a little bit of just a holding pattern, I guess, in terms of expectations for data and what data could do. But we are off to a weaker start nonetheless, and not for any gloriously correlated reasons that, you know, connect the dots between things that are happening in the news or data with the market movement. There were some comments from some ECB officials. There was a moderately stronger economic report in Germany. But European bonds sold off fairly aggressively nonetheless, more aggressively than the underlying events would suggest. and U.S. traders got in on the action when they got in for the day and pushed yields to another super long-term high this morning with tens all the way up to 4.531. They've only come down a little bit since then, but despite that weakness, the general notion of a holding pattern would still be the baseline for the rest of the week, and I think that holding pattern is getting started off on a weaker foot. We don't know what we don't know, however, and there could be other reasons for trade flows to sort of push the pace ahead of next week's data. Might not actually be a bad idea as far as some traders are concerned to get in a more defensive position, push rates even higher, and then let the data sort of push back against that if it's going to. And then if it doesn't, if it continues to do things like last week's jobless claims report did, then traders would be in an ideal position to absorb that by doing a little bit of extra selling this week. That's going to do it for this week. Back with you next time.
Thank you, Matt. Listeners, check out mbslive.net for up to the nanosecond updates. This is timely information on this around his screens. You got to check it out. Use the signup code LOL to get the extended trial period without having to put in a credit card. David Kittle cannot join us today. So Kittle, we wish you well and get a mortgage update. Again, we're looking at interest rates climbing, as Matt talked about, big spike in rates today. So what is your attitude? What is your mindset, listeners, about what's going on? There is going to be $1.3 to $1.7 trillion of business being done. The question, who's going to write it? And if you're of the mindset, can't get anything done because rates are high, you're not going to be the one of the ones writing the business. So listen to Matt's update. Look at the market with the right mindset, and you'll realize there is business out there to be had. No, it's not like last year or the year before. Certainly not. But there's still money to be had. There's business to be gotten. Get the right mindset. We're going to be talking about that more on another podcast. And we did a really good interview on mindset with Jason Abel. Check that out. Thank you, David Kittle, for all you do for being here with us and what you do through the TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative. Appreciate it. Let's get over to John Maynell of iEmergent with this week's update.
Thanks, David. We know that the incredible accuracy of iEmergent's purchase mortgage forecasts give lenders geo-targeting capabilities by neighborhood or census tract. The platform also shows the locations of centers of influence and includes contact information. For the first time ever, lenders can target the best community partners to establish strong presence in the hotspots they're trying to reach. This functionality is absolutely unique to iEmergent, David.
Thank you, John. Alice Alvey is gone on a vacation. We miss Alice when she's gone. Her segment is so listened to. You can listen to all of Alice's previous segments by going to our website, Lickin' on Lending. Go under the tab that has each one of the segments, and you can just binge away listening to Alice or any one of the regulars on this podcast. Alice, I hope you're having a great time. She's over in Europe right now, and we wish her well. She and her husband are dear friends, and we appreciate them. Safe travels, Alice. Alan Pollock is here. He is COO of Candid Inc. What do you have for us today on the Tech Report, Alan? Good to have you here, friend.
Oh, it's great to be here. And actually, I'm going to talk about what I had last week, because for some reason, I was visiting my daughter at the University of Mississippi. It was a great football weekend and a parents' weekend. I sent my recording in, but something must have happened. So
yeah,
such great information. So who knows? But let's just talk. Let's just talk about it, because the content was so good. Before I do, I always bring up something interesting in tech. Do you know that the company Ring Doorbells?
Yeah. Ring doorbell,
yeah. They've come out with a lot of different technology, obviously security for your whole home. They now have dog tags. So you now can have a Ring dog tag, which I believe is part GPS to track your dog. But anyways, check it out. They're going to continue to come out with more stuff, obviously powered by the backing of money from Amazon with their ownership. But if you've ever seen Shark Tank, which most people have, it always gives you a little bit of inspiration. They always play back the episode when the gentleman from Ring came on and tried to sell the Ring doorbell in its infancy. It was like the beta model of the technology, and they questioned him and didn't like it, and they sent him away. Obviously, he did real well. There's even an episode where they brought him in as a guest investor, but what a great story.
Isn't that a great story? Even the best missed sometimes. And I think that's perfect for some of the investments I missed on. Anyway, yeah.
It truly is. For our ChatGPT enthusiasts out there, big announcement. So apparently ChatGPT just announced that they are now going what's called multimodal. It means that you now can support voice, meaning you can speak to the prompt engine, and image uploads. And they're continuing to expand. There's a lot more plugins. If you want to build diagrams, you legitimately can just, you have to be on the paid version of GPT. You go in there and you say, hey, I'm trying to put a diagram together. And you activate the plugin is the piece I missed right there. I'm looking to build a diagram of my mortgage technology solutions connected to my own database. And the more you talk and speak, it every time regurgitates, instead of an answer to you, an actual chart. And you can click the link and modify the chart. And I've done a few, and it is unbelievable. Now, you don't have the control if you're really good at building charts that you would do on your own. But man, if you need to get your ideas out and you need a quick chart and one of your vendors says, hey, give me a workflow diagram, you can just speak at the ChatGPT and it will automatically generate the entire chart. Very cool tech, David. Yeah, anyways, they now also have multiple web browsing plugins. If you want to say, hey, tell me what Lickin' on Lending was talking about the week of February 1st, it will legitimately go out to the internet. It'll find Lickin' on Lending. It'll find the podcast by date, and it will tell you what we spoke about on February 1st.
So it's no longer just locked in to that data, because when ChatGPT was released, it was only locked in on the data up until, I can't remember what the cutoff was, but it was a particular
date. Yeah, it was a couple years old. That's right.
Yeah, a couple years old. And now has that moved on? Have they moved on?
The core engine is still,
just that old data. Okay.
Exactly. But there are now plugins that you can activate that when you say, please go search for this, it'll actually make a web request. And there's a little expand icon.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, because that's where I was going to go next. Garrett, our good buddy Garrett Locklear at Candid, turned me on to Bard, bard.google.com. And I'm going to, he's doing research on that, and he was showing me what it can do. And it's like, this new world of AI, Alan, is just something to behold. I mean, some people think it's scary, but it is really impressive.
That's correct. You'll start to see Bard as you do Google searches. It'll automatically include it in your results. And it has some really interesting information. If you've seen over the years, when you do a search on Google, it will bring up usually the answer you're looking for, and it'll give you the link of where it got it from. Well, now Bard is a little more conversational and you can ask it more questions, some really interesting things you can do with it. I think, David, what we'll do moving forward for each week is I will bring to light a new tool, some interesting tool that I feel has relevance to the mortgage industry that you can use as a mortgage lender or a mortgage vendor. And I'll give you a recommendation each week, because there's so many of them and I've got so many bookmarks. So we'll start that next week. We'll call it the AI tool, the Lickin' on Lending AI tool of the week.
I love it. Yeah. One of my friends, because we're creating two TV programs or television streaming programs. One is Your Home Business. The other one is Your Home Coast to Coast. And so two programs. And I have a guy by the name of a good friend of mine, Larry Morrison, is joining me on this and working with me as a writer and as a content creator. And he sent me a text today. He says, Dave, you got to check out app.heygen.com. It's H-E-Y-J-E-N. And he says, it turns my English, he did a video, and then it turned it into a Spanish translation. But the one thing that's most interesting is the way his mouth moves. It's like it tweaked the way his mouth moves. So it looks like he's actually speaking Spanish. These translation tools.
Okay. You just teased up the big part of our segment today. So I'm going to go off the tracks here, skip some other things we were talking about, and I'm going right into the hot topic of this conversation today. So we've all seen what's been going on. MGM has had a cyber attack. This is going to blow your mind, by the way. Last Monday, which is now the Monday before last Monday, so 2 weeks ago, MGM reported that a cybersecurity issue, right? They're just calling it an issue. They didn't call it an actual hack or an incident yet. Which we all know it is, had impacted several systems, which it promptly shut down, okay? The hack wreaked havoc on 12 Vegas properties, digital room keys, slot machines, TVs, ATMs, and more, plus MGM's websites. Now, you're probably wondering, what does this have to do with the mortgage industry? It has nothing to do with borrowers spending their down payment money trying to just pay cash for a home. It has to do with a topic called vishing. And that's, instead of phishing, it's V-I-S-H-I-N-G. And it's called voice phishing. Or social engineering is another term for it, or manipulation of a person into revealing sensitive information. You ready for this? Who did this? It's complicated, okay? And I'm reading bits and pieces from some articles and I took some notes down. It's complicated, but it seems to be a group of young US hackers and European in their teens to 20s who used social engineering. And what they basically did is they were pretending to use information, recorded information, okay, voice phishing, to pretend that they were an employee. They got information about employees on Facebook and LinkedIn, and they called into the IT help desk and they vished their way into getting access to systems.
No.
Yes. And that's what caused this. Now, this is going to happen in our industry. Today, David, if you get a phone call from an unknown source, they say, "Are you David Licken?" Right away, you do not say yes, because they can record you saying, "Yes, I am David Licken," and use that against you to get credit card offers and to do other things. That's part of the voice phishing problem that's out there. So to make a long story short, we have to educate, just like we've talked about wire fraud. We have to educate home buyers. Us as lenders, we have to do that job. We have to do better to let them know what they need to be careful of as they enter the home buying process, because they and you are subject to be socially voice engineered or vished.
Wow.
Based on the different AI technology that is out there. And I'll add to all of this, David. I went to ChatGPT and I said, "Hey, I need to know more about vishing." And we're going to talk more about this next week. But what they said, and I said about the mortgage industry more specifically, and what it says about the mortgage industry is they're going to use common tactics. They're going to pose as representatives. You get what I'm saying? Wow, I guess it really is Monday. From banks, mortgage companies, government agencies, they're going to claim that there's an issue with a mortgage payment. They're going to ask a borrower, "Hey, can we give you a lower mortgage rate? Please give us your information." They're going to ask to verify personal info. It's shaking everything up. And we're going to have to find better ways to authenticate ourselves on the phone. We have to be careful about making wire payments to banks, your title company, your attorney for escrow. It is going to be a different world 12 months from now, and we're moving fast. And so we need to educate our borrowers. We'll talk more about it next week, David. I know we're short on time because you don't give me 45 minutes to say everything I really would like to say.
Well, speaking of people coming back, it's so much interesting. Vishing, V-I-S.
That is correct. H.
Oh, my ING. Very interesting. That is interesting because I got suspicious when I got a phone call about a charge on there, but it was so well done. And they said they're from Amazon, said, "Let me call you back." And they said, "Yeah, by all means, here's the phone number, call us right back." And so turns out I said, "I'll call you back later." I never did call Amazon. It turns out that they were using my voice. They were doing that very thing. And so I was trying to trick it. I'm going, "These guys are so dang smart. Why am I doing this?" And it was just a big mistake. Anyway, called in, alerted everybody that had happened. So we put extra controls and stops on my check. The need to have double sign-ons and everything like that now is so critical. And the extra codes for transferring money, we've got that all in. It's put a lot of steps in there. It's like going through the airport. You got to get wanded, got to walk.
Absolutely.
In, take your shoes off, belt off, and go on in and walk it, scanned.
Absolutely.
But it is absolutely necessary for us to be safe today. It's just a sign. Yeah.
I'll tell you this, David. I just went into ChatGPT again. And for our listeners, the plugin I use today is called Browser Up. So you go into ChatGPT, go into your settings, and you activate Browser Up. And then what happens is I just went and said, "Hey, any stats on mortgage fraud vishing?" And it said, "Certainly, here are relevant," meaning in this month of 2023, "statistics regarding mortgage fraud and vishing." You ready? Over 59.4 million people in America fell victim to vishing in 2021. Now, even though it said for 23, it looks like it gave me 21, but that's still a crazy number, 60 million people. 59% of Americans receive scam calls. And an average American has been exposed to vishing attempts multiple times and doesn't even know it. And so there's more information that I can even read here. And MacoreLogic, actually, which I'm just reading right now, has actually a mortgage fraud and vishing trend report. So we'll see if I can get some more info on that. But yeah, it's a really big topic and we got to really be careful.
Yeah, more and more careful, more and more prudence, discernment used in our day-to-day operation. Alan Pollack, thank you so much for being here. again. Any updates on from Canada, friends over at Canada? Garrett's, he's on top of it, doing a great job.
He is. He's really built a unique piece of technology and a very empathetic approach to customer support, as well as the strategy on servicing a customer, just making them be a partner. In this world today, it's just vendors are vendors. I'm not saying that for everybody, but customers, the same two people don't believe the same color red looks red. And so you can't expect the same two people to expect customer service and how they perceive technology to be exactly the same, even though you may think you're doing a great job. So Canada's got a very good empathetic approach to understanding that people and technology work differently and not everyone's the same. And so not only Garrett been building a great piece of technology or an ecosystem, I should say, but his team has been very empathetic towards their customers and treating them as partners and really is going to continue to grow and scale. So if you haven't seen this technology, by the way, just go to candid.inc and check it out. And you can always reach out to me as well. I'd be more than happy to give you any information you need.
Yep. You can reach Alan, A-L-E-N, at TMS-Advisors, or what is your Candid email address?
Oh, it's just Alan, A-L-E-N, at candid.inc.
Oh, it is. Very good. That's a joy of that. Yeah. Very good. Thank you so much, Alan, for being here. Great update. Vishing. Watch out, listeners. You learn something every day on the podcast, listening to our Licking on Lending. Be sure to share this podcast with others. This is just such a sample of all the knowledge we try our best to give you. Again, as we say at the top of the podcast, providing you information that you can listen to and grow by every single day. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. And we also say, and is shareable. Encourage you to share it with your associates, wherever you're at, and even with some of the people out there in the industry. We have a number of people, Alan, sharing this with their borrowers, saying, this is how I stay up on all that's going on. I thought that was very clever. Very good. Alan, thank you for being here. Listeners, thank you for being here. Safe travels to Alice, who's traveling, Mark, who's traveling, and we appreciate all the regulars for what they do to contribute to this podcast. A special thank you goes out to Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, Candor Technology, Simple and Nexus, iEmergent, the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, MMI, and Modex. Appreciate you all for being sponsors. Listeners, have a great week and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licking of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.